grab a seat if you'd like to. Welcome once again to Level 13. My name is Heath, I'm the pastor here, and we are just thrilled that you're with us this morning as we get back into the swing of things. We get back to some sort of a sense of normal, hopefully. I don't know about anybody else's last 4 to 6 weeks, but gosh, they have been crazy for me and my family. It seems like we have jumped from one event to another, to another, to another. And there's just something about the start of a new year that brings a sense of rhythm. And it's just a sense of calm. And okay, maybe I'm dreaming, but that's what I'm hoping for anyway, that there's this rhythm that starts as we flip the calendar over to January 2018. And so if it isn't a dream and it is just what I really sense is taking place, we're going to do our best to tap into that rhythm this morning as we kick off a brand new series called First. This series, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into this idea, this topic, this statement that Jesus made in one of the most well-known, probably the most well-known sermon ever recorded. It's a Sermon on the Mount. He says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first. This is going to be the lens that we look through over the next four weeks as we discover four specific areas of our lives, four specific things that we can do to put God first as we move into 2018. This morning, we're going to look together at this idea of seeking God first at the first of the day. But before we dive into that, I want to ask a question. How many of us could say we know someone who we would characterize, or we would say this word defines them, that they're obsessed with something? They're a little bit passionate, they're a little bit over the top, a little zealous. Maybe that refers to some of us in the room, or maybe it's someone who's sitting beside you. Just don't point them out, because that could make for an awkward ride home. But I think we all know someone who we could characterize as a little bit obsessed. Now, in my family, we have several people who are obsessed. But this morning, for the sake of time and not just telling story after story after story, I'm going to talk about my oldest son, Micah. He is an obsessive young man and has always been that way. The thing is, his obsessions tend to change over time. He's really into one thing, and then all of a sudden it shifts, and then he's into something else. And I can remember several years ago when the video game Minecraft just came out. He was over the moon obsessed with this game. He didn't have the game, but he was watching YouTube videos. He was making plans because one day, somehow, some way, he was going to get that game. And he was going to know what to do when that game showed up at his house. Then he discovered that his uncle and his aunt were planning on purchasing this game for him for his birthday. We thought he was obsessive before then. He took it to a completely different level. I mean, he went so far as to every day he would write out, okay, when I wake up and I'm going to do this and I'm going to build this and I'm going to go to this location and I'm going to fight this battle and I'm going to create this and do this, all before he ever had the game in his hand. It was still not even his birthday yet, but he was making plans. He had some plans he was going to do with this game. And at the end of the day, is there anything wrong with that? Not really. Where the problem came in was he completely forgot about everything else in the world. Like, Minecraft was the only thing that mattered. Didn't matter what else was on his schedule. Didn't matter what else other responsibilities he had. Minecraft was the thing that was the most important. When Haley and I would try to carry on conversations with him, the only thing he wanted to talk about was Minecraft. We would try to change the subject, and he wouldn't hear anything about it. And when we call him, if we needed him to do something for us, it was like he had, selective hearing, maybe. And he didn't hear anything that we had to say. And so that created a little bit of a problem. Now, chances are we're all familiar with situations like that. We've probably even been in those situations ourselves where we've been so laser focused on something that everything else just seemed to go to the back burner. Everything else seemed to stop in the world except that one thing. Maybe there's some in the room who are thinking, okay, I know where he's going. We shouldn't be so focused and so obsessed on one thing that we miss everything else going on around us. We can go home now. Well, actually, that's not where I'm going today. I believe that being laser focused on something is actually a good thing so long as that thing adds value. So long as that thing that we're obsessed with, it increases our lives. It makes our lives better. So there's this guy in the Old Testament who's kind of a well-known character, a guy named King David, who he had this obsessive personality. He was one of the greatest kings that Israel has ever known. And it wasn't because he was a great military leader, which he was. It wasn't because he had these great conquests, which he did. It wasn't because he had great leadership abilities or wisdom, which he had those things as well. The thing that differentiated him, the thing that set him apart and made him one of the greatest leaders Israel has ever known, was his passion, was his devotion, was being consumed with his relationship with his God. He, above everything else, wanted to please his God and wanted to know his God. God actually made this statement about King David. He said, he is a man after my own heart. Now, we can take that a couple of different ways. We can say, okay, he was a man who shared the heart of God, or maybe he was a man who was desperately seeking and pursuing after the heart of God. Either way, I think, would be correct. And either way would set him apart and make him different. Now, he wrote something in one of the songs or poems that he compiled that made its way into our Bible in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. And he gives us a little bit of insight into just how passionate, just how consumed he is with his God. If you've got a Bible, open to Psalm 63 with me this morning. We're going to read one passage of Scripture from here, and then we're going to jump a little bit throughout the rest of this morning. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen for you. Psalm chapter 63, David makes this statement. Oh God, you are my God. You're not the God of my parents. You're not the God of the family I was born into. You're not the God of the nation that I happen to lead. You're my God. This is personal. I'm calling you my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He gives us this insight into just what God means to him. God, you are my everything. I want to just picture it in your minds if you can. A man who's lost in the desert, hasn't had anything to drink for hours. But up ahead, he sees what could be a mirage, but it could be a spring. And even though all of his energy is gone, even though his tongue is literally sticking to the roof of his mouth, he just needs water so bad. Even though he doesn't necessarily have the strength, everything within him propels him towards that spring in hopes that he can just get a drink. That's the imagery that David explains here in his relationship with God. I am desperate for you. And I'm going to seek after you early. I'm going to go after you, God, early in the day. What's so important about going early? Well, David understood something that I think we miss sometimes. He wanted to connect with God before the busyness of the day kicked off. He wanted to connect with God before other things started vying for his attention. Other responsibilities started to pile up. He wanted to spend time intentional with his God before all those things took place. Maybe we could say it like this. Devoting time to God in the first part of our day aligns us with him. It puts us in a proper relationship with him. It puts our heart in connection with his heart and our mind with his mind and our spirit with his spirit. Seeking him early in the day. That's an awesome thing for us to do, but there's also a downfall to that. There's a temptation that shows up if we get into this habit of seeking God in the first of the day. It can very easily drift into legalism. It can very easily drift into this to-do list, this checkbox that we like to mark off every morning. I don't know if anybody else in the room likes a to-do list and likes marking things off of a to-do list. It just brings me joy. Like, I get happy when I get to mark something off of my list. Like, hey, I've accomplished something. Even if it was just like, put your socks on. It makes me feel really good because I've accomplished something on my list. That shouldn't be the feeling that we have when it comes to our relationship with God. He can't become just a to-do list, something that we check off of our box for the day. And yeah, I've spent some time with God, because what happens is the relationship that we have with him shifts. It isn't a relationship any longer. It's just something that we do out of habit, something that we do out of ritual. And there's no meaning there. There's no underlying devotion there. Haley and I were talking about this earlier this week, and she came up with this brilliant statement. She said, the cure for this, that feeling of I'm just going through the motions, the cure for legalism is relationship. The cure for legalism is relationship. See, David, he doesn't say in Psalm 63, God, you expect me to seek you early, so here I am. That wasn't the way that he wrote it. He said, no, God, I am longing for you. I am desperate for you. Like someone who hasn't had a drink of water in hours and is just parched. God, I am longing for you. That was a relationship. That was a relationship that he was pursuing. He wanted to know his God so much that he was willing to get up early and seek after him. Devoting time to God in the first part of the day aligns us with him. It puts us in relationship to him. Okay, we get it. But does it really have to be first thing in the morning? Does it have to happen first thing in the morning? Honestly, I'm not a morning person. You know, nobody wants to see me before I've had my coffee, not even Jesus. Because he wouldn't like me, and he likes everybody. Does it have to be in the morning? Can I not just do this at night? Well, again, we're not focused on being legalistic on this thing. But I do think there's something special about getting up early in the morning, getting along alone with God before the day gets busy and loud. Jesus himself actually modeled this for us. One of the writers in the Gospels, a guy named Mark, tells this story about Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus himself, the Son of God, knew that before the day started, before the busyness of life hit him in the face, he needed to get alone with God. I think there's something special about waking up a little bit early, devoting that first part of the day to God. We're going to seek him first. Maybe this is brand new information. Maybe this is something that we've never really thought about before, but it sounds pretty good, and we want to do that in 2018. We want to seek God the first of the day. Well, that's an awesome desire. But before we can make that decision, we have to ask ourselves a really hard question about 2017. We have to ask ourselves the question, spiritually, what does 2017 look like for me? Where am I at in 2017 spiritually? What does that look like in my life? See, I'm convinced that there are three different categories that all of us fall into. Somewhere over the line of 2017, we fall into one of these three categories. The first is this: we were spiritually apathetic. We just didn't care about the things of God. We didn't have time for him. He wasn't even a blip on our radar screen. We didn't care about God. We showed up at church because somebody promised to take us out to lunch afterwards if we did. Or they told us that there was coffee in the front out here and it was cold outside and we needed something warm to drink. Whatever. We just didn't really have a desire or any interest in God in 2017. Second category that some of us fall into is that we were spiritually inconsistent. We had some really strong moments. We had some moments where we were just in love with Jesus And we were ready to use a southern phrase to charge hell with a water pistol. Like, we were ready to go. And then we had some other moments where we thought hell was charging against us. And we didn't even know where our Bible was. We hadn't spent time in prayer and worship for days or weeks. Missed a couple of Sundays in a row. We stopped serving. We stopped giving. We had a roller coaster experience. We were up one minute and down the next. We were spiritually inconsistent. And then the third category that we might fall into is we were spiritually consumed. We were consumed with a passion, with a desire for God, and we were growing. And we can look back over the course of 2017 and we say, you know what? I'm more of a disciple today than I was in January or in December of 2016. I'm more of a disciple today than I was back then. We have to answer this question. Where were we? If we want 2018 to be different, then we're going to have to do something different than what we've done this year. If we want to experience a great 2018 spiritually, we want it to be our best year ever, then we may have to change some things that we did last year. So what's the word for us? If we find ourselves in that first category where we're spiritually apathetic, here's the challenge for us this year. Investigate. Investigate Jesus. Read everything you can about his life and ministry. Ask hard questions to people who follow him. Dig deep, investigate. Actually give him some time. Not to say that you're becoming a Jesus follower, but just to completely investigate and see if there's something to this whole Jesus thing, if he's worth following. For those of us who land in that second category where we're spiritually inconsistent in 2017, maybe the word for us is consistency. I know that makes sense, right? That's just common sense, but there's a little more to it than just showing up every day. It's being consistent to spend time with our Father intentionally. Not when we think about it, not when it's convenient, but we set aside time. Back in Alabama, I was very fortunate to be a part of an outreach ministry. We had a second campus that met in a mobile home community, and we didn't really have a clue what we were doing. We were really quick to admit that to everybody. We didn't really know what we were doing. But there's this one phrase that was kind of the overarching theme for everything that we did at that outreach campus. Consistency over time brings life change. Consistency over time brings life change. If I make a decision to consistently spend time with God at the first of my day, then I'm going to experience life change. Consistency. Consistency. It's not the routine, but it's showing up because my heart is hungry to know him, to experience him. And maybe for those of us who found ourselves in that third category, spiritually consumed, the word for us would be continue. Continue. Because here's the temptation that many of us who maybe find ourselves in that third category would fall victim to. The temptation that we would experience would be this. You know what? I am further along this year in 2017 than I was in 2016. I can kind of relax a little bit. Nobody wants to go too crazy. Nobody wants to become a freak when it comes to following Jesus. Let's just kind of go with the flow and sit down. We'll take it easy. We don't have to do so much. That's exactly what our enemy wants us to do. So we need to continue to pursue him. Continue to grow and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Not so we can hoard all this information and we can hoard our relationship, but so that we can give ourselves away. And we can share the gospel everywhere we go. And we can use words when it's necessary. Everywhere we go, we can share Jesus. Continue. Now, the difficult thing for us is that everything we've talked about this morning, it isn't going to just magically happen because we've heard this sermon. We wake up tomorrow morning, January 1, 2018, we aren't just automatically going to seek God first. If that happened when a pastor would share a message, I can promise you the messages would be a little different. If everything that we wanted to happen, we could say it from the stage and it would just magically appear, we would be preaching a lot of different things. Some of them probably wouldn't please Jesus, if I'm just being honest. It's not going to happen just because we hear a sermon about it. We've heard this said time and time again. If we fail to plan, then we plan to fail. We've got to have a plan in place. If we're going to seek God first, in 2018, if we're going to start by seeking Him in the first of the day, we've got to have a plan in place. We could say it like this: good intentions are not the key to success, planning is. We can have all the good intentions of the world. We can have all the good intentions to do the right thing, to get up early and seek God, but if we don't have a plan in place, then more often than not, we'll fail. I read a statistic this week. It said in the church, this isn't outside the church, just in the church, amongst church leaders, only 8% of New Year's resolutions are kept. 92% fail, and it's because of a lack of planning. So what would a plan look like for us? Well, maybe we download a Bible app to our phone or our tablet. We choose a Bible reading plan, and we set up reminders so that every day we're getting this reminder, hey, it's time to get alone with God. Hey, it's time to spend some time with your Father. Maybe we turn the television off and we go to bed a little bit early. We set our alarm clocks about 15 minutes earlier. I know that sounds horrible. Some of us don't even recognize that there is a time 15 minutes before our alarm clock goes off that that even exists. But it does, I promise. And 15 minutes isn't going to kill us. Maybe we set our alarm clocks for 15 minutes early and we just get up and we spend that first 15 minutes connecting with God. God, I've got a lot on my plate today, but the most important thing is my time with you. Everything else can wait. I'm going to be obsessed with you, and so that the rest of the world can just stop and be silent. Because right now, the only thing that matters is you. Maybe it means for us when we're sitting at the office or at our job and it's time for lunch, and we normally go out and have lunch with our buddies, or we listen to talk radio, or we listen to the latest sports news. Maybe instead we pop some headphones in and we turn some worship music on. And as we sit there and we're eating our lunch, we're connecting with our Father. Just have a plan in place. Spending time with God in the first of the day aligns us with Him. And I believe 2018 can be our best year spiritually, that we can grow and we can mature and we can become fully devoted followers of Jesus to the glory of God. We have to want Him. David wanted Him. God, my soul longs for You. I am desperate for You. If I don't get anything else, God, as long as I get You, that's what's important. That's what I'm after. That's the thing that is driving me. I am consumed. I am passionate about You and my walk with You. If we're not there this morning, if we're not in that place this morning, today would be a great day to start. To say, God, I want You. You are the only one. It is You, and it is You alone that I am after. You're the one my soul desires. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, help us want You. God, help us to desire You in a way that we never have before. Father, I pray in my own life. God, start with me. Let there be a passion for you and for my time with you in the first of the day, that as I seek you, God, I'm aligning myself with your heart. Father, I pray that that would spread throughout the rest of my day, the rest of my interactions in my life. Father, I pray for our congregation, for those who are here this morning, God, that we would have that difficult conversation with ourselves and we would honestly answer the question, how was I spiritually this past year? And if we can't answer that we were spiritually consumed, God, let us make the changes that in 2018 we will pursue you. We will go hard after you. Father, would you breathe your presence into this place during this time? We pray this in Jesus' name.